How wonderful is our most holy and most sacred liturgy and the scriptures from which about 80 or 90% of it comes. There are those who boast that they are more into scripture than we, but about 80 or 90% of the traditional Mass is from the scripture directly. Not so with others. But how wonderful we have these magnificent readings upon which to meditate. We definitely do not have the luxury of the time that they demand, but we will do indeed take some luxury, because this is the most important thing that you and I will do today. And for some of you, alas, this is the most important thing that you will do in this whole week. Being Catholics, we can go to Mass and Communion every single day. But most turn their back on Him. And these readings are for you particularly. So we see here, twice in the epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, he tells us that we must be followers and imitators of God. He begins the epistle like that, and then he ends, "Walk ye as children of the light." And who and what is the light? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light, the only light. There is no God but Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. And then, of course, he speaks about the sins of people. He even says it's better not to even talk too much about them, because it's very possible that talking about the sins will lead you to sin. Because you have to think about what it is that that's talking about. If you are in those sins, then you need to go to confession. And of course, this is the time of the year when the Church, by order of at least two councils, the councils of the Lateran, and maybe also, I don't remember, the Council of Florence, because Catholics were getting lapsed already at the beginning of the second millennium. It's normal to get lapsed. It's normal to get fat-bellied and yellow-bellied and weak-spined in the things of the spirit and of the soul. But we must not. We must be strong in God, in the Holy Spirit. And so the councils ordered the Catholics, to be considered Catholics at all, had to at least go to confession once a year. Now, that is not a very good Catholic, mind you. Just like Catholics that only go to Mass on Sundays are not very good Catholics. I'm so very, very happy that I had the example of my grandparents and parents who went to Mass every day from the time that they were married. My grandmother was 15. My grandfather was 20 or so. He was already a doctor. And even though he had to travel for this on horseback, because they had to come from Spain to Cuba because of the persecution of the faith there, he and she were to go to Mass every day until he couldn't, until he died. On my birthday, by the way. Mass is the most important thing that there is on the face of this earth. We do not appreciate it enough. We do not take advantage of it enough. We have all kinds of excuses. So what if we have to stay up an hour later doing the dishes or the laundry or whatever it is? We need to walk following God, imitators of God, of Christ. And we need to walk as children of the light and avoid sin and go to confession. Now in the Gospel, the same theme is sort of repeated, but differently. Here we have our Lord exorcising a demon. Of course, we are very familiar with that. And those who refused to believe, some were amazed and in admiration. Oh, he has made the deaf man speak. The demon is gone. And indeed, he was gone. Others say, no, he cast out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub, another name for Satan. And our Lord says, well, if I do that by Beelzebub, by whom do you exorcise spirits? Your children, he says to them. Of course, he's talking to the Pharisees and the priests of the temple and the Sanhedrin. And they did exorcisms too. Even as some who are not even Catholics sometimes are allowed by God to do exorcisms. Not because they have any power, but because God has the power. And of course, that's a whole other situation. But it's reality. It's truth. And that doesn't mean that we should follow them. Now, he says, however, and this is something very, very powerful, we will revisit this all during the season of Easter and Pentecost, but if I, by the finger of God, exorcise spirits, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. And of course it is. Now, think to yourselves, who or what is the finger of God? As we sing in the Veni Creator Spiritus, it is the Holy Spirit. And that, of course, shows, manifests the fact that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father are inseparable. It is by the finger of God that he does these things, by his own Spirit. And then he tells us what happens to some people, and I have seen this happen too. A person who is possessed, and our Lord, whether at that time or this time, through a priest or a bishop or the Pope, whatever we may think of some things that he did, saints make mistakes. Pope St. John Paul II exorcised many, many hundreds of demons. And so therefore, it is by the power of God. But when the demon leaves, in this case there was one, very strong, apparently, and he leaves, and the man begins to speak. And the demon goes around, looking around, our Lord says. This is a parable, but it's not a parable. And that demon is just not happy because he had a very comfortable place. Maybe the man who was dumb was real fat and he had really comfortable inhabitation for that demon. Or maybe he was really sinful, and the devil loves sin. And so he goes around, and he finds no comfort for himself. And then he says, well, you know, I'm going to go back to my house, where I came from. The dumb man. And he comes back, and he sees, ooh, it is beautiful now. Maybe he started to go to the gym and he has a six-pack or whatever. He's no longer fat and corpulent. His house is clean. It's shiny. It's beautiful. He says, well, I'm going to go get some other demons so that they can enjoy this with me. And he brings seven. Now remember, seven in the scriptures oftentimes means many. Sometimes not. 7 days of creation, seven whole gifts of the Holy Spirit and so forth, seven sacraments. But sometimes it does mean many. And so he brings all these other spirits, these demons with him. And they are so happy that he's sharing his home with them. Now, of course, the thing that is not true about this, it's a parable too, is that demons are never happy, ever, 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 they're in hell always, even when they're here on earth tempting you and me and tormenting you and me. They're still in hell. In hell, they hate God, they hate us, they hate each other. So they're never really happy. But at least our Lord is telling us this to show us what happens. So they come and they take up residence once again. And basically, he's letting us know that this man who was exorcised, he did not follow Christ. He did not walk as a child of the light. He went back to his sinful ways, and thus he opened himself to possession again. And I have seen this happen. And then the state of the person who has been exorcised and now is possessed again is worse than it ever was. They are more evil and more wicked than they ever were. And so we need to pay attention to what our Lord says. And remember, the state of mortal sin, in which I'm sure some of you are, I can smell it. It's like sulfur. It's like being possessed, because a person who is in a state of mortal sin belongs to Satan, not to God. Just like a baby before baptism belongs to Satan, cute as he or she may be. And then once the exorcisms take place and the waters, the living waters of the Holy Spirit, who brings with him the Father and the Son, are poured over that child's head, then he or she becomes a child of light. But the state of mortal sin, and we need to do something about it, and that is why the church is in such terrible shape, because there are so many Catholics in mortal sin, and the world is in such terrible shape, and our country is in such terrible shape. Do not think it's somebody else's fault. It's your fault. What are you doing about it? And so therefore, we need to expel sin from our souls, from our lives. Go to confession often. Pray often. Make reparation for your sins often, that you may indeed be children of light, in goodness, in justice, and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.